Hey, Sarasota, it's Bob. So it's been a wonderful grind over the past 18 months. We've had some fabulous guests. We've produced over 150 episodes, and we've had over 10,000 listens from you wonderful folks in the greater Sarasota area. It's been a lot of fun, but also it's been a lot of work. And so we've decided to take a little bit of a break until this fall. When you check out other podcasts, you're going to see that most put out a new episode only once a week. We put out two, so of course that means there's twice the work. A lot of show notes, scheduling, guests, editing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we've decided to take a little break for the rest of the summer, and we will resume this fall. And we'll let you know. But before I sign off, can you do me a little favor? Reach out to us via Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Drop us a little note. I'd like to know more about what you want to hear when we resume in the next couple of weeks. That'd be a big help because without you, dear listener, we would not exist. As always, thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful summer, and we'll be back soon where you can listen, learn, and connect. Today, we're pulling one of our favorite episodes from the archives because we believe some stories need to be heard more than once. Enjoy. What would you do in your downtime as a soldier fighting in Baghdad, Iraq? Why, you study up on quality wines, of course. Sounds strange to you? Sounded strange to me until I met one former soldier who decided to educate himself on all things wine as he prepared to join his fiance in California wine culture after his tour was up. Years later, in a move to the Sarasota area with his now wife, he continues firsthand research on the local wine culture and sharing his findings with a very cool blog he and a friend started 2 years ago. Hi, I'm Bob Williams, and I believe if you truly want to better understand your community, to build personal, professional, and even lifelong relationships, then a willingness to hear each other's stories is an absolute must. In fact, that's why I created the Sarasota Stories Podcast. It's a podcast dedicated to helping you get connected just a little bit deeper with those living in this wonderful community we call home. In each episode, I interview business leaders, civic leaders, artists, authors, entrepreneurs, physicians, philanthropists, and others who are making a positive impact in the greater Sarasota area. Today, I am very pleased to welcome Eric Vigo Onstad of the Unassuming Wine Bros blog. Vigo and his good friend Patrick started writing their blog in 2020 in order to be a local resource and provide a fun way to learn and discover new wines. Each month, they feature a wine which could be from anywhere in the world, then share their findings with their readers. They also share the price they paid and where to buy these wines locally. If you want to increase your wine knowledge, then you won't want to miss today's episode. You'll learn what prompted Vigo to learn about wines in the most inhospitable surroundings, how he met his co-writer for their blog, how they choose their wines to write about, what you'll learn when you read their blog, and much, much more. I'm so glad you joined us today, and as always, it is my hope that you will listen, learn, and connect. Vigo Onstad, welcome to the Sarasota Stories Podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's a real pleasure to have you on. It's interesting how we kind of connected through Instagram and whatnot, but you said you saw us first, and then I started reading about your wine blog, and I thought this is really cool, you know, how a couple of guys got together and just wanted to just write about wine from a local perspective. Right. So I think that's really interesting because if anything I've learned about Sarasota in the 8 years I've been down here, it's a wine culture down here.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one great thing about wine, you can make, you know, good friends. And that's pretty much how Patrick and I started up our friendship. We were going to similar events and our wives are, you know, work in the same industry. So it's like, you know, two 13-year-old boys trying to figure out, you know, what they have in common. And Patrick actually kind of started the conversation about wine and, you know, we just built a friendship from there. And then next thing you know, we're writing for Lakewood Ranches around the ranch and doing a blog. And it's almost been 2 years now.
That's really cool. And you have some very nice artwork on your blog. You have some nice articles. What I like about it, and we're going to get into this in just a little bit, because I want to find a little bit more about your background and how this was connected to Iraq, because you're a former soldier. And yes. But we're going to talk about your blog a little bit. What's really cool about it is you have pricing, you have alcohol content, you have, you know, real insightful comments on the flavor, location. And I'm not a wine guy, so I'm starting to find this really fascinating. So I'm definitely going to be a connoisseur of your blog, I should say, going forward. And because really I'm a beer guy. But I'm kind of getting into the local culture here and starting to learn more about it because it could be intimidating. But I'll tell you what, before we get into that, you had a very interesting story about the fact that you were actually in Iraq. Yeah. And started getting some care packages, I guess, from your wife. And you guys were in California at the time. You're in Iraq. She's sending you, I guess, goodies and magazines and stuff like that. And kind of started to introduce you to the world of wine. Talk about that, absolutely, if you would.
So at the time, we were engaged. And Monica, my beautiful bride of going on 13, 14 years now. At the time, she was living in San Jose, California, which is in the midst of wine country. And she was really big into wines. And she said, you know, when you come here, you're going to have to know about wine. So she was sending me all types of books about, you know, different varietals, how to taste. And one great thing about Iraq is, you know, between the, you know, the moments of terror, you have a lot of downtime. And so every night was reading about, you know, wine country, Napa Valley, varietals around the Livermore Valley and Hillsburg. And I really got smart about wine to the point where she created a monster when I got back from the war. And I was like becoming very almost snobbish when we went tasting. So, she pretty much created this monster that is, one of the unassuming wine bros.
That's funny. I've never thought of a, snobbish Iraqi war soldier when it comes to wine, but maybe you may first, but it's called unassuming wine bros. So you're not snobbish.
Absolutely. No, when you start getting down, and especially here in, you know, the Sun Coast, Sarasota, people love wine here. But I mean, you don't want to spend, you know, a bunch of money on something that you could probably get for a reasonable price. So that's when,
right,
you know, me and Patrick started talking about, you know, doing a wine article and a wine blog. It's like, what does everybody in this area want to know about wine?
Right.
And basically is like, we want to see good wines at a good price. So that was kind of like the kernel that grew this tree that is the Unassuming Wine Bros. Is we thought, you know, people would like to read something about great wines at a great price. And we talk about wines all over the world.
Right. And I saw that on your blog. And I have to go back and read some more. You know, I mentioned early that my one wine story that I have, and I'm really a beer guy, and I do like beer. Sometimes you don't want the carbonation, so I am learning a little bit more about wines. But I took a trip about 10 years ago. I was actually looking at some property down in northern Argentina, and it's called the Salta area. And there was a group down there, a group of Americans bought 100,000 acres, and they were developing it for folks to go down, buy lots, and they put a hotel on there and so on and so forth. But basically what these guys do is they wait for Argentina to collapse every 10 years and they go down and buy stuff on the cheap. But anyways, so I'd been following their newsletters, and I flew down, looked at some of the property. I did not buy down there, but I discovered the incredible wine culture down there. And give our listeners a picture. It's really big sky country down there. Saguaro cactus. It's on the, you know, it's on the eastern side of the Andean Mountains. And so it's high desert. And you think, you know, how can they grow wines here? But see, all that all of that condensation coming off the ocean there hits the mountains, filters down, and then you drill about 10 feet down, and they had this pure artesian water, again, in northern Argentina there. But they threw an asado. I guess that's Spanish for a barbecue or whatnot. They bring out the white tablecloths, you know. I mean, we're all in our boots and whatnot, you know, and blue jeans on, but they bring out the white tablecloths, white tent. They bring out the wines that they were promoting and whatnot. And they had the agronomist there talking about the wines. And that's where I ran into my first wine snob, because I'm a complete plebeian. I don't know anything about wines. And so I'm trying to fit in and make a little joke. And I said, the guy sitting next to me, I said, you know, I wonder if you can get a beer around here. He just looked at me like, wherever you came from, go back. But that's really my only wine story. And I can understand the culture and the love for it.
Well, what a place to like have your first wine experience, because their Malbecs are absolutely phenomenal there. And
we actually wrote
an article. If you go to our blog, we wrote an article about Argentinian wines, and so reasonably priced and just delicious. So yeah, their red wines are absolutely phenomenal and very inexpensive too, which is great.
But they go back really, you know, several centuries there. I mean, we're still such a young country, and California obviously is one of the paramount places in the world to grow wines and whatnot, but we're still a young country. But down there, they go back, you know, a couple centuries, I'm sure, with regards to wine.
Right.
But yeah, it was an incredible experience. And that's when I first started to get an appreciation for the fact that people can really have a love for it. And it's just really kind of a part of your family, a part of your culture, if used properly, and et cetera. So, tell us a little bit more about, so you're in Iraq, you're getting these care packages, and you're starting to read about wine in California.
Yes.
How did that kind of prepare you for when you went back?
Just like anything, you know, reading is great, but you know, doing it in practice is even better. And thankfully, my wife, who had lived there for almost 10 years prior to me getting there, kind of like she knew all the wineries, and she just kind of like slowly walked me into, you know, what each winery was good at. There's some, you know, they're very good at Chardonnays. Some are good at, you know, Pinot Noirs, Pinot Grigio. So it was a kind of like, she was kind of like sampling with all these wineries, and I kind of figured out my palate as far as what I enjoyed. And with anything, especially reds, I think Pinot Noirs is the best place to start if you want to start drinking red wines, but don't want, you know, something really in your face. Like maybe an Australian Syrah is like super bold, a lot of alcohol, but a California like Pinot is just very soft. And if you get a good one, beautifully balanced, and it's a great place to kind of like let your palate discover what you like.
That's very cool. Now your partner in crime is Patrick Duggan. And it surprises me
that
Patrick Duggan. Well, somebody with such an Irish name, it surprised me that he'd be a part of the Wine Bros. I figured he would like a nice pint or something, you know, like a nice Guinness.
Well, I mean, he makes up with it and I'll tell you right now, Patrick is probably, as far as the heart and soul, I mean, he is the guy that, I mean, his wine taste is absolutely phenomenal. And being that he's an attorney, he does a lot of great research. So I'm the guy that just kind of like, Patrick, like, hey, we're going to do this area. Like, we just did we're just finishing off an article about Chilean.
Yep, been down there too. Yep.
Carmeniers.
Yep.
And Patrick, you know, of course, did the research, had everything set out for me. And then we just did our tasting last Sunday, and we're getting ready to write and then put out another article. But yeah, Patrick's research and palate is just great. So I just kind of like show up, you know, cold, and just give my, you know, unvarnished opinion about the stuff. And I right. think that's how we work because, you know, it's kind of like a D. Martin, Jerry Lewis kind of, because he's very
We're dating analytical. Ourselves.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I am. He comes in and he's very serious. He's very, you know, like an attorney. He gets down to the you know, the facts about the wine. And I come in and I just, you know, like say something funny and describe it in a way that everyone enjoys reading the article.
So how do you guys, right now, it looks like you're publishing about once a month. Is that correct?
It is correct. Yes.
Yeah. So you say, okay, we have an article that because you got to produce. So you want to get together. You say, okay, this month's article is going to be about X. Take us through the process of how you get ready to write that article. Is it a lot of consumption so that you have real world experience, or how do you do it?
We try to think about at least 2 months out. So like, Patrick loves regions. So wrote about, you know, Spanish Rojas, French Bordeaux. I think coming out this month, French Chablis, we just wrote about. Mm. So Patrick likes certain varietals in certain regions because he believes that everybody's kind of interested in that particular area and that particular type of wine. And then once we kind of like settle on what we want to do, we start doing research. Patrick gets on the internet and researches. We try to keep it around $30, and normally he'll make a trip to Michael's Wine Cellar. There's a plug for Michael's Wine Cellar, and he'll pick out what we're looking at as far as region, varietal, and price, and we sit down and we start writing.
That's very cool. I mentioned a little bit earlier that, you know, I'm just kind of now coming into understanding a little bit more about wines. And if you walk into any wine store or a supermarket, it's such an incredibly competitive market.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've even seen some financial commercials talking about starting your own winery or something in your, you know, in your golden years. I'm just like, you know, this is nuts. How can somebody even get started to understand about wines and really not being intimidated by the process?
Well, you could read our article and blog, The Unassuming Wine Bros, but basically a lot of times it's just getting books about, like, you know what, I'm interested in white wines. And, you know, like I said, you know, you do some research about something, and then you slowly kind of like try things. And I wish I could take pictures. A lot of times I just, you know, go to Publix and, you know, kind of like pace. I look at the aisles, see what they have, and, you know, see what's available. And, you know, it's, you know, you go anywhere now and it's just overwhelming, the amount of wine and the amount of it is. And then I want to take pictures of people, you know, just looking up in the wine like racks with this confused look on their face, because that's what everybody does. It's like, this is too much. And that's the reason why we kind of like wrote our articles, like, listen, let's get the confusion out of here. We're going to do the research for you, and these are the things that we think are great wines at a great price, so you're not standing in that wine aisle trying to figure out I'm going to a friend's house and we're going to have steak. What do I need to bring? So we try to write so you're not as confused when you go into that wine aisle.
Right. Where are some of your favorite places to buy wine around the area?
Well, like I said, man, I'm plugging Michael's Wine Cellar a lot, aren't I?
He's an extraordinary operation. I mean, he's been featured in wine magazines, you know, and.
If you want really great wines, you can't beat that place. And that's, it's very close to where Patrick works. So a lot of times when he's leaving work, he just goes over there and gets our research for us. Total Wines is great. They always have a huge selection. a place that I think just started up. We've had a couple of times we went over there and got a couple of selections is Sarasota Wine Company does a great job as far as their, you know, selections. And you know what? There's times when we're downtown and we were going to, I mean, I wanted to say the opera, but we're just kind of like, you know, having a good time downtown in Sarasota. Sure. 99 Bottles does a phenomenal job. They have a great selection and it's by the glass. So you don't have to like worry about, you know, splitting, you know, a bottle. It's like, hey, can you, you know, you can do it by the glass. So these are the places we kind of go and sample wines and get ideas.
Well, we were talking before we started that I had Michael Klauber on the show, and he really is, I think, an icon. I mean, he's just kind of an institution here in the greater Sarasota area because he's been doing it for so long, and he does have a great wine selection. I've been in his store there, in his cellar, and of course, to me, I think it's pretty extraordinary, and he even does trips to wine places around the world. I think his favorite place right now is South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, how cool is that?
Now, if we want to plug something out of South Africa, a great sparkling that you can get, you can get this sparkling at like, what was it? The Whole Foods, Grambeck, Brut Rosé, which is South African. If you want a delicious sparkling wine, I cannot recommend that more. And it's delicious. It's great for any occasion. And it's South African. I think it was last time I bought, it was a bottle for like $14, $15, which is unheard of, you know, as far as sparkling goes. And like I said, it's out, I would have never known, but it's a South African sparkling wine. So South Africa does a phenomenal job as far as the wine goes. So, I mean, yeah, there's places all over the world that are producing wines that I really didn't know until we started writing this article.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I will say, it's funny, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, do you have to buy an expensive, well, obviously you don't have to buy an expensive bottle of wine. It depends upon what you like. And I will say, years ago, and it was a special occasion, I did buy a bottle of wine at a very nice restaurant, and the bottle was a couple hundred bucks.
Right.
And I just, because I wanted to say that I had done it, I was curious, and I remember having the wine, and it was very, very good. I remember the wine. I don't remember the name, certainly. Remember the evening. It was a great bottle of wine, but from my perspective, since I guess I don't have a developed palate at this point to really know the nuances and the real flavors and just an understanding, I kind of felt like I wasted my money because I felt like, you know, I bet I could find a good $30 bottle of wine for that same thing. But what's your thoughts on that?
You know, I that is a great observation. You know, it's kind of like anything. You got to start from Little League to JV. You know, you can't go all the way up. You know, you can't be going World Series kind of wine drinking because you don't have a real like measuring stick on like, is this as good as you think it is? I have a same story when we were living in California, and my wife's best friend, whose family has been in, you know, the wine industry for years, we were having a great meal, and she pulled out a $120 Pinot Noir, and I was absolutely like, whatever, this is not, you know, how $120, this is ridiculous. And at first sip, I was like eating my words. I was like, really? Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was just like, okay, now I know why this is worth $120. But that was like over like 3 years of drinking okay Pinots and then going up to American League.
The big leagues.
You know, there's $300 Pinots. I mean, there's places that I think Screaming Eagle, which is this winery in California, I think their bottles of Pinot and Cabernet go for like $1,000 each.
Right.
So, And I don't have that $1,000 budget.
No.
But I mean, you can tell the the quality. But you know what? You know, if you want to have a nice meal on the weekend, the $30 Pinot or Cab or it's going to be fine, and it's going to taste great, and you're going to enjoy it.
Does it have to be? And now this is, I got to ask the question. Does it have to be in a bottle? Because you know, I mean, one guy who I kind of turned to for, he's a wine guy, and he says, believe it or not, they're putting out some decent wines in containers, in like these, I don't know what you call them, corrugated boxes or whatever.
Yes. You know, box wine now with Patrick, that is a bridge too far as writing about. He was like, I mean, I brought it up a year ago. It's like, hey, let's do an article about box wine. He was like, I mean, I couldn't tell. That no lasted at least a minute. And he was like, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I do want, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think I've almost got them worn down. This summer, we're going to do an article about canned wines, which I think it's a great alternative.
Yeah.
Especially us that live near the beach, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, uncorking this glass bottle. It's very convenient. You put it in the cooler and you can have a really great wine experience as you sit in your beach chair, you know, sunning yourself. So canned wines are actually the big kind of like thing that are coming out right now. A lot of companies are doing canned wines. And so that's one we're going to write about probably sometime before the summer, even though it's summer all year down here, as far as something that's coming out about wines.
Well, if you are a producer, if you're a winery or somewhere in that supply chain and you're trying to get traction because it's such a hyper-competitive market, I can see where the container is just something else that, you know, you're going to try. And maybe you will hit a market that would never buy a $30 bottle of wine.
Sure.
And so it makes sense that they would do that. And I'm trying to think the guy, you know, I'm a big fan of Shark Tank. And there was some guy on there who was selling single serving wines, and he called it, you know, upscale wine, but apparently it's really institutional level wine. But he was trying to get funding from one of the sharks. And he actually succeeded, but he was selling it in these plastic kind of, they weren't wine glasses, but they were kind of more like something like you'd see in a beer glass. But by golly, I saw it in some of the supermarkets around here. I don't know if it's got staying power, but I can understand how they would do that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it, I mean, would you serve it? Would you like break that out, you know, during a nice meal? No.
Of course, yeah.
But if you're like sitting around the pool and someone wants a red, and so you don't have to worry about someone, and I'm telling you right now, I couldn't tell you how many wine glasses and wine bottles we broke on our lanai deck next to the pool, to the point where my wife made me get plastic wine glasses now.
Yeah.
It just makes it a little bit more convenient as far as, you know, the transportation. And if someone drops it, it's not going to smash all over the place. So
I wonder what they do at the beaches here. You know, I mean, for example, we were out at Lido with a group a few days ago and celebrating my wife's birthday. Some of the folks brought a bottle of wine, and I don't know whether that was a violation or something, because, you know, who wants glass out on the beach?
No, and it is, because I can't tell. I mean, I've seen the signs. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it goes forever. It's like no smoking, no dog. I was like, can we have fun here? You know, is there no? But
I'm sure you didn't see any of those signs in the beaches in Iraq, but you had to keep your head down, right?
it was one big beach there.
Yeah, I bet. Oh my goodness.
But that's the reason why I think canned wines is great for this area. I mean, if you want to, I mean, because it's in the can. I mean, you're not going to break any glass. It's just like, you know, bringing a soda or anything, and you can enjoy it by the surf and not have to worry about, you know, violating any rules, and it's recyclable. So there you go.
It is something for folks that want to go that direction. You know, I was funny. I was kind of thinking, I says, you know, if your partner doesn't want to do box wines and can wines and whatnot, what you do is you start a new blog because you got unassuming wine bros, and then you could start very unassuming wine bros and put all that stuff on that blog.
This is how insurgency starts right there. You know that.
Well, listen, Vigo, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Anything you want to leave the listeners with about how they can get the most value out of your blog and how to reach you?
We're on Facebook and Instagram. So just look for The Unassuming Wine Bros. If you put it in that search bar, you'll find us. We're also, our blog is theunassumingwinebros.com. And if you're in or around the Lakewood Ranch area, pick up a copy of Around the Ranch. And we have a monthly article that they produce as far we're internet and we're in print. And now we're, you know, here we are on a podcast. We're just venturing out into all kinds of medium.
Well, it's a great relationship that you and Patrick have, and I think it's a very cool concept, and I was glad to have you on the show. But I will say I'm going to reach out, and you, Patrick, and I are going to have probably more than one glass of wine together.
Absolutely.
Hey, got to ask you before I let you go. This has nothing to do with wine.
Okay.
But it's a wonderful story. You have just adopted a child.
Yes, yes. A 58-year-old new father of a six-month-old baby boy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now I really have to have a glass of wine with you. And I have to see Tell us about the child real quickly.
Alexander, we actually this is a great Sarasota story. So my wife and I, about 2 years ago, went through adoption, certification through the Safe Children's Coalition in Bradenton.
Yep.
And of course, COVID came and we were waiting for our home study. And that took about a year. So 2 years on. And during the, like, our home study, when it finally came through, the person that was there, you know, doing our background, you know, told us, like, hey, we have this beautiful baby boy that was abandoned. And I think he would be perfect for your family. And I'm like, and when she left, I looked at my wife, I was like, we're not getting a baby. There's no way. They're not, you know. Man. And I had a total right hip replacement in August.
Oh, man. And
so as I'm being wheeled into the car after surgery, my wife turns to me and says, we're getting the baby tomorrow at noon. And I'm like, I think I'm still under anesthesia. Did you say we're getting a baby at noon tomorrow? And yeah.
Boy, she set you up pretty good, didn't she?
And I tell you, we were scrambling. So, I mean, normally most people get like 9 months to set their house up for a baby. Right. We had to do it within like 12 hours.
Wow.
So I'm laid up on my back in my bed. A good friend of ours, their child just outgrew a crib. So in the corner of our room, he's building a crib. And then next to my bed, there's a walker. And I was like, can there be any more duality going on right now?
Oh, my goodness.
So, Alexander came to us. And, we went through the adoption process. It took about 6 months. And then on February 25th, it became ours altogether. So we're just like over the moon. He's just this wonderful little boy, just so happy. And you know, we're very blessed.
So, oh, that is so cool. That is a wonderful story.
And if anybody's like considering adoption, I would definitely get with the Safe Children's Coalition in Bradenton. They do a great job. They have classes and you know, especially in this area, there's a lot of children that have been abandoned or need families.
Oh, no.
If you can open up your home, they will definitely open up your heart.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to add them on the show as well, because now you've piqued my interest. I want to find out more. So, well, that is a wonderful way to end this discussion about wine. And I wish you all the blessings and luck on being a new father at age 58. And make sure you take that extra vitamin C because you're going to need it. But listen, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And if you're ever in the Lakewood Ranch area, you know, look me up. Me and Patrick will get the first bottle of wine will be on us.
All right. You betcha. Hey, thanks again. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hello, dear listeners. This is Bob again. Thank you so much for stopping by. I sure hope you enjoy listening to our interviews as much as we do providing them. If so, would you do me a little favor? Go to sarasotastories.co and enter in your email. That way you'll get notifications of all upcoming episodes. Also, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And remember, no matter where you go, to listen, learn, and connect.